Amen.
You know, it's a good thing that we had the good sense to proceed with the service like we did this morning, because all we're ever doing is catching up with what God has already done. Amen. On this Sunday, when we are have celebrated and will continue to celebrate God's good calling in these four brothers, I want to remind you that none of us are off the hook. We are all called according to his purpose if we love the Lord. And so you may as well wake up to that if you're not yet awakened to that. And on this Sunday, I want to jump around a little. Besides the two tweets from Jesus that you just heard read, the one is, I think, 91 characters, and the other is, what did I write down here? The other one is 118 characters. Two tweets of the kingdom. And it's remarkable to me that the kingdom gets described in such short order. Before we get to that, I want to jump way back to Ezekiel and just to remind us all of the God that has orchestrated this. In that passage, I'm just going to read it real quickly, 16 times God speaks these two words, I will. 16 times in just 6 verses. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in the inhabited parts of the land, and I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I will be their shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. And I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Wow. Thus the Lord has spoken. As important as it is for me to work on my weight, and I may not be alone in that, I don't think this verse, the fat and the strong I will destroy, is referring to that. At least I trust that God will assist me in this struggle. But that what he's talking about here is that God will destroy, is on the lookout to destroying oppressive behavior. And indeed, those who live their lives selfishly to oppress and to live their lives at the expense of others will meet their destruction. That's what he's talking about. But think about the amazing grace that is given even those. I will destroy them, but I will feed them with justice. And the invitation and God's absolute desire is clear. To search, to rescue, to bring out, to lead us to safety, to feed us, to be our shepherd, to make us lie down, to seek us when we're lost, to bring us back, to bind us up, to strengthen us. Wow! That is the God you have gathered to worship this morning. And I've been here to see it. My little iPhone video has been shot. I can tell the whole world about the Spirit of Christ having been present here at Living Water Community Church on this morning. When you did the unthinkable, and that you have gathered across culture, across ethnicity, across these classes that humanity keeps on creating. I praise God for the sign of God's great, great mercy. Know this and be assured, be confident, be joyful, be thankful, because our God's full intent is not to destroy you, is not to mess with you, is not to trip you up, but to assist you in every way to become more and more and to grow into the likeness of Christ, who we claim as our Lord and Savior. I told Bonnie when I left, Bonnie's my wife, she said, so are you ready for your sermon? I said, yeah, I hope they are, because right now I have like 3 weeks worth of notes. I'm aware of that, what the time is, so don't. Although I did just read about the guy that fell out of the window. And then after Paul went down, or Peter went down to save the guy and restore him, he went right back and preached some more. Anyway, I won't be doing that, and we're on the ground floor, so you're all safe anyway. So here are these two tweets. What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Well, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. That's the kingdom of God right there. Again, Jesus asked rhetorically, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Well, it's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. That's what the kingdom of God is like. You all got it? You all know what the kingdom of God is like now? Well, Jesus often spoke in these interesting kind of pictures, right? You have an idea now exactly that apparently the kingdom of God is like something of a mustard seed, and the kingdom of God is like yeast. Tiny, tiny, tiny little things, stuff. I want to submit to you today that on this day when we celebrate these four brothers' call to ministry in a special way, but we really celebrate God's call in on all of our lives, I want to suggest that one of the phrases in these two little tweets, short tweets, say more about the kingdom of God, or say as much about the kingdom of God as anything else in these short little images of the kingdom. Here it is. It's like a mustard seed which a man took. It's like yeast that a woman took. You got to take. You got to take what's been given you. That's what the kingdom of God is like. So here's the man. Jesus could have said, well, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like mustard seed. When in the ground, it grows. But the story, I think, is very significant that the man had to take it. The man had to participate, had to receive from God what was given, and then did something with it. Didn't just say thank you very much and put it on a shelf. He took it, he received it, he was willing to receive it, and then he put it in the ground. And then it simply says, it became a tree. And the birds of the air came and perched in its branches. And isn't that happening here at Living Water? Isn't that happening? Because some of you, maybe all of you in your own ways, were willing to take that seed that God has given you. But you got to take it. You have to take it. And then once taken, you got to do something with it. Do something with it. And the woman. This is how Jesus describes the kingdom. It's the woman. It's like yeast that a woman took. And she didn't just say, okay, now I got yeast. What she did with it was she mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Well, I urge you, Amos, Samrock, and Tim, and Stephen, I urge you to wake up every day from now on, and the rest of you too. Wake up every day and simply ask in a very simple sort of way, Lord, what are you placing before me today that I should receive? And then assist me to know what to do with this. It is that simple, and it is that complicated. It won't always be obvious how to use this. And sometimes you will be obligated to plant the seed, and guess what? You will never get to see the growth. I read about a seed that falls in the Everglades. And some seeds there have been there for 500 years, maybe even longer. And the only thing that will allow them to germinate is if they get disrupted by a hurricane force storm that creates so much upheaval that the seed is freed to do its growing. Huh? Anybody here experience any upheaval personally or as a congregation? Of course you have. Is that possibly one way in which God insists on uncovering seeds that are there? So I just urge you on this Sunday, on this day, to think about what God is placing before you and do what this man did, do what this woman did, and take it. Take what you did. So I'm going to end by just jumping way back in Scripture again. Those are the two tweets, and I may as well not talk terribly much longer about them because otherwise I'll be talking much longer about it than Jesus did. Okay, so looking way back in the Old Testament, my dad, when I told him about this sermon that I was about to preach, he said, "Oh, it reminds me of Moses. What's in your hand?" You remember when I was preaching here at your installation, Pastor Kristen, you asked if I could preach about Moses in the burning bush, and so I did. Exodus chapter 3. And so I reread that just to kind of relive that and jumped over to chapter 4. Went on with the story. And here is Moses catching on to the fact that he is about to be asked to go to be God's mouth to the people. And he's scared. He's scared they're not going to believe him. He's quite certain that they won't. And he's out to protect himself. And as he, in his confusion and in his resistance, God asks him, "What's in your hand, Moses?" And Moses says, "A staff." And then God says, "Take the staff and throw it on the ground." So he throws it on the ground. And what happens? Anybody know? It turns into a snake. And then God says, "Pick it up by the tail." So he picks it up by the tail. And what happens? It's right back to the staff that it was. And then he says, see, God is trying to give Moses some signs that he could make the people believe him. Surely if they see these signs, they'll believe him. And then he says, "So put your hand in your pocket." So he did. Pull it out. Leprosy. Put it back in your pocket. Puts it in. Pulls it out. Good as new. And God says, surely they will believe these two signs. But if they don't, take some water from the Nile. Pour it on the ground. Turns to blood. And then Moses said, "But they still won't understand me. They still won't believe me. I don't. Let someone else go." And God gets ticked. God gets angry. I mean, like, man, who gives mortals the ability to speak anyway? Is what God asks Moses. I mean, come on. Look who's talking to you. Look who's asking you to do something. But Moses says to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." I'm going to stop here and just say something to you. When God grabs a hold of you as a minister of the gospel, ordained, credentialed or not, a pastor or a pewster, whatever you are, God will assist you and allow you to be who you can't be. To this day, I wake up every day knowing that I am a stutterer. As a child, I could not speak at all. And here I am. Most of the time, I can speak just fine. And usually, when I get scared, it's already happened a few times in this sermon where I got to step aside that word because that word's going to bite me today. I'm not going to use it. And it's pretty invisible, but not always. And usually then, when I admit to it, it goes away. So I've kind of felt it coming on now, so I thought I would just say that. Nah, maybe I can be freed of that. And then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to the mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf or makes them stutter, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to speak. But Moses said, Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, What of your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he's coming to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth, and I will be with his mouth, and will teach you what you should say and what you should do. Amos, Stephen, Samrock, and Tim, and the rest of you too, God will be with your mouth and will teach you what you should say. He indeed shall speak, he, Aaron, indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you. It's interesting. Aaron shall serve as the mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Moses is not off the hook. I don't know who got the easier job here. Because now Moses had to represent God to Aaron and make sure that what was coming out of Aaron's mouth was true to what God had desired. So take what's in your hand. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform these signs.
Man, I looked for staffs.
I couldn't find staffs. Tim, come up here. Amos, come here. Samrock and Stephen, I have staffs for you. Yeah, well, I'm about to test your faith. And then I have a very special one for the equipping pastor. Will you come, please? I decided, well, they only had four black ones, and I thought that was probably God's good.
So I get this.
Good. You get that one.
The maroon one.
And so I would ask now, take what's in your hand and use it. I need a photo shoot here. You don't just say thank you to what's given you, as we already discovered, right? You take what's in your hand and you discover its use. Well, it was only this morning. Yours doesn't, well, it does work. Well, sometimes you have to have someone else help you figure out where the buttons are. Is this not a beautiful sight? I mean, think about, yeah, it was only on the way up here that I thought, I need to find staffs for these people. Where will I find staffs? I said, Bonnie, does Walmart sell staffs? I don't think so. Well, so I actually had four walking sticks, couldn't find five. Precious walking sticks of mine that I wasn't willing to part with because they were gifts from other occasions. So on my way up here, I thought, Walgreens might have the staffs I need. And the umbrellas are that. And here's what I want to celebrate today. From this day forward, every time you use an umbrella, this one or once this is worn out, some other umbrella, every time, think about God's call in your life. Think about how wonderfully God is your umbrella and will indeed protect you. And whatever it is from now on that is put in your life, you need to stretch your may this be a reminder to you of God's goodness and of God's protection. You look good with those umbrellas. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to sing a song with you all, and you can all join me. It's a song that kind of fits descriptions of the kingdom, but it comes from the passage where Paul is kind of ticked with the Corinthians who are arguing about who's who and all this. And then he said, I'm sorry? No, you don't need to. Thank you. Thank you for asking. You certainly may. But
may what?
She said you want us to stand here. Oh. No, you can go back to your seats. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy the umbrellas.
Thank you.
This is a song that I would offer to you. You might want to use it in your worship on other occasions. There are two songs that kind of have grown out of it, and there's two sections. And the slower part has been used in any number of congregations by now during communion time, but you'll recognize it. The part that you especially will want to sing on, or I hope you will want to, and you'll want to stand and really get into it, goes like this. We'll plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow. We'll plant, we will water, oh Lord, make it grow. We will plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow even now. So it's a triad, and you start, we'll plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow. Jump. We'll plant, we will water, oh Lord, make it grow. We will plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow even now. Oh Lord, even try that. We'll plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow. We'll plant, we will water, oh Lord, make it grow. We will plant, we'll water, oh Lord, make it grow even now. Oh Lord, make it grow even now. Now. Make us ready, even now, ready to receive. Oh Lord, to receive all that you've given, even now, even now, even now. We're still not ready, even now, ready to receive. Oh Lord, to receive all that you've given. Have given us the seed of faith. You've given us the seed of hope. You have given us the seed of love even now. Oh Lord, even now. Plant, we'll water. Oh Lord, make it grow. We'll plant, we will water. Oh Lord, make it grow. We are yours, your spirit within us even now.
Well, thank you, brother. We want to move into a time of just praying and sharing. We do have one planned sharing, but after that, we'll ask Sumrock and Stephen and Amos and Tim to just stand up, and then people will surround you and just be praying for you. And then if folks feel led, they can move from one to the other. And then at some point, we'll just read the closing scripture, the benediction, okay? But first, we have a planned sharing.